Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for not only today, but for the week ahead. And here we are today in the very last day of August, August 31st.
Good morning, everybody,
and apparently I've been listening to YouTube videos. There we go. So welcome everybody, and let's check in and start to see what's going on. This is the week, of course, that the full moon is in action. That will start tomorrow evening late for those of us on the West Coast, but early morning on Tuesday for those of you on the East Coast, as the full moon is at 10:37 p.m., I believe it is tomorrow night for me, which puts it into the next morning. While you sleep, you'll be experiencing the full moon. That doesn't mean that we're not already experiencing the energy, as this particular moon is pretty expansive and also has a lot of other connections it's making to planets. So it'll be in the sign of Pisces. Today, the moon is still in Aquarius. And the sign of Pisces, of course, is completely different energy from Aquarius. It's imaginative and creative, but also prone to not seeing clearly. And there may be things that happen during the full moon week, during the full moon part of this week, that you won't really even recognize what it was about until later on. So what do I say with that? I just say go with the flow, whatever it is that life brings to you, just go with that flow. So let me check in real quick here and see if people are checking in with us. Good morning, Jennifer and J-Lo and Passion Moku. Good morning. And Josh, good morning. Asa, hello there. And Leslie Zuber, good morning. Happy to be here. Thank you, everyone who enjoyed my dog pack deck. Right. Leslie is the author. And I'm not sure if you're the artist as well, Leslie, but those cards, I think it's she and her sister, perhaps, that have done that deck. And it's absolutely gorgeous and just fun to play with. So, and I know we have quite a few dog lovers here in the morning, as well as cat lovers. You can see mine. She's asleep over there on the bed behind me. And we just love animals here, right? All right. So good morning to anybody else checking in. Joy Ann, hello. And Amanda J, hello. I'll see you and Joshua later today. And we'll be able to chat. Leslie says correct. So I'm guessing that you both did that together. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. So we have a bit to talk about today, not a whole lot. It's not like it's an overwhelming week, thankfully. This particular day isn't particularly overwhelming either. We do have a couple of days this week, though. I called them red letter weeks or red letter days because the energy of those days is just kind of all over the place. And one that the first one isn't until Saturday. And guess when the second one is? Sunday. So Saturday and Sunday are our red letter days, meaning if you have your chart with you, your calendar chart like this that I shared with everybody, you see how they're in red. The days are in red. So the fifth, oops, I got to go this way, and the sixth, both in red. Now, I'm not sure if that's just for me or if everybody's days are like that. It should be everybody's days like that because those are the days when the moon is in the sign of Aries. And we know that that's a highly energetic sign right now, energized by Mars in his pre-retrograde. So the fifth and sixth are before the retrograde, but we have some craziness happening that day in the moon because the moon will be squaring Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, conjunct Mars. Mercury himself will be changing signs that day into Libra. The next day, Venus changes signs into Leo, and the moon will square Venus and conjunct Uranus from Taurus. So the weekend, those 2 days anyway. And of course, this is a three-day weekend coming up for those of us in the USA. I'm not sure if everybody has this as a three-day weekend, but we do. And Labor Day is actually the quietest of the 3 days where the moon will trine the sun, Jupiter, and Pluto instead of squaring them. So something soothing coming after this intensity of the squares on Saturday. So let's take a look then at what else we can expect during the week. So I had I had issues with my printer. I've never had issues with my printer since I got it, but this morning I had issues with my printer. Thank you very much, universe, for reminding me that other technology pieces can go crazy. So today we just are in the lead up to that full moon energy. Even though the moon isn't quite into the sign of Aquarius yet, we're feeling it, right? We're feeling it that there may be something that we have to bring to a close. Maybe we're waiting for some kind of big news or something to trigger us. The moon will be in the void. It goes into the void. Actually, we are not going to be in a void. How fun is that? What? How can that be? Oh, because I was looking at September. Here we go. 31st. So from 9:57 p.m. tonight until 2:35 a.m. tomorrow morning. And this is West Coast time. So not a big affecting issue for any of us, really. It's happening while we sleep. And when we wake up in the morning, the moon will be in Pisces, preparing later in the evening tomorrow night and into the next day, Tuesday morning, to be in its fullness. So we'll talk more about that full moon tomorrow on the morning show. And let's see, what else do we have going on this week? So Tuesday, the moon will be in Pisces. We'll have the full moon, but we also have some shifting going on through the week with different planets opposing those outer planets, Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter. And I just said that in the wrong order. It said should be Jupiter, Pluto, then Saturn. And that happens on Wednesday when Venus opposes Saturn, but the sun at the same time trines Uranus. So we have some humorous, lighter energy with some more deep energy of the hitting our relationships in the week. Thursday, Mercury will trine Saturn early in the morning, and then the moon moves into Aries later in the afternoon. So Thursday is a day emotionally where we may feel a little bit like we're on a ride, like maybe in the morning we start the dive into the lower wave, and then it begins its rise back up in the afternoon. So it'll be like feeling like, you know, when you're going up the top of the roller coaster, right? And then you zoom down and then you come back up, you gain all that momentum. So Thursday's a day about momentum, I'd say. Friday, Venus squares Mars, Mercury sextiles Venus. So nothing big really until we get to the weekend. The weekend is literally going to be that time. So I'm just going to tell you now, if you have plans to go away for the weekend, be careful, right? Be aware, be in your body. Don't do things that are daring and out of order or out of the ordinary for you. I mean, sure, if you're going on a trip or something like that to a new area, just be aware of your surroundings. If you are thinking of doing anything risky, something that you're not used to doing, maybe you should wait for another weekend, not this one, right? This weekend seems a little bit crazy for that kind of stuff. And I like to give the warnings of weekends coming up like that early so that you can make plans to not be crazy over the weekend. Have fun for sure, right? Have fun and maybe explore some new things, but don't go all risky, daredevil. What was that guy, that daredevil, Evel Knievel? Don't go Evel Knievel out there this weekend. So what about today? What can we expect going on for the day? Today, we have the moon in Aquarius, and really only one aspect coming up later this afternoon, and that is a sextile to Mars. And a sextile to Mars is one that has two faces, right? Two faces of Mars here in Aquarius, where one is action-oriented, and we want to take action, and we want to move. We feel the sort of inborn freedom of the sign of Aquarius, but Aquarius is a fixed sign, fixed air. So in our mind, it's fixed perhaps in a way that we think it can happen, and in the way that we think it should happen, and instead Mars throwing out some possible roadblocks or ways in which he wants to see it get done. So today's just a day, go with the flow. Don't really beat your head up against a wall trying to get things done your way. Today it might just be the universe's way, right? Let the universe guide you into what direction to go and just flow with that energy. Aquarius energy, by the way, we haven't had a chance to chat about that in a while. It seems like maybe it's been on the moon's been in Aquarius on days when we haven't been together, but Aquarius energy is, of course, unconventional. That's always the first word I think of with the moon in Aquarius. Unconventional feelings, not feeling the same way that everybody else thinks you should feel. seeing things in a whole new light, being different, right? Thinking outside of the box, not keeping yourself contained in this same old way of thinking, same old way of doing. Aquarius energy really gives us the opportunity to shake things up and do things in a new way. And if you're hesitant to do that, the universe will often shake you up on its own, causing you to have to do things in a different way or see things in a different way, or even just entertaining, maybe I should change something about what I'm doing because it doesn't seem to be working, right? That can happen with your relationships, your finances, your job, any place in your chart, because wherever it is that you have Aquarius in the chart and Aries, those are the two signs being triggered at this moment by Mars in that sextile to the moon, or the moon in a sextile to Mars. So looking for where Aquarius is in your chart will help you see what area of your life where you might be able to think outside of the box today. Technology is also a part of Aquarian energy because it has a slant toward the future. Remember, Saturn is a co-ruler of Aquarius. He totally rules Capricorn, but he co-rules Aquarius with the planet Uranus. So because Saturn is a planet that represents time, the time in Aquarius that he rules is sort of the future. So the look down the road, where in Capricorn, it's been about the past and what isn't sustainable in the past is coming up and likely being destroyed or deconstructed, if you will. And then as Saturn is a co-ruler of the future here, then it looks to the future and how can we build it sustainably, right? So we have both planets there, Saturn a little more stodgy, a little more deliberate, and we have Uranus who does things in a liberating fashion, awakening us to where it is that we're stuck. Saturn can get stuck. Uranus don't like stuck. So we get this sort of fits and starts kind of energy. So technology is also like that, right? Where we have new technologies coming out and then something gets exposed about that technology. So we back it up a little bit and then we have more. So technology is also ruled by Aquarius today, the Aquarius moon. So is it any wonder that my printer decided to have an issue this morning before I came on air? Today is also a day for humanitarianism as Aquarius rules everything to do with humanism, with humanity, with being a humanitarian, with being altruistic, with being able to be objective and to step back and see the bigger picture, right? That's Aquarius sort of energy, to be able to see a bigger world view and how we all are a part of that view. So it makes it very difficult then in the birthing of a new age, such as the age of Aquarius, for nations to pull this nationalism card, because it isn't going to work in the age of Aquarius. Nationalism by its nature is very Saturnian, very much about, it's about Capricorn Cancer, right? That home, that idea of nationalism, right? But we're moving into an age of humanism, of humanitarianism, which means that we have to take a wider world view. So when the moon moves through Aquarius, we kind of get a test run of what some of that energy might look like as we move into the future. Now, those are big concepts, by the way, this idea of the switchover from this nationalistic worldview to one that is truly a worldview or a global view. And that takes time. And you can see all of the division and the jostling around of that energy out in the world as jobs are shifting from one country to another and all of these things, right, that are also being sort of reconstructed or deconstructed, reconstructed a la the coronavirus, right? So things are all a mess. But when it's all done and over, we're really moving into this more global worldview. We have to take a bigger picture here. And when we look at that bigger picture, we're identifying with humanity. We're not identifying with somebody's particular money or the economy or any of the other things. We're really looking at humanity and how do we make the world a more equal place. Also, moon in, and this is interesting because today the moon in Aquarius sets a pathway for us for revelations, for ahas, for surprises, for upsets, things like that. Guess what else? The full moon tomorrow tomorrow night and into Wednesday also bring us that same energy, only it'll be in a different sign. So these first 3 days of the week, literally, I'd be prepared for that unexpectedness, for things you didn't think would happen to happen, for surprises, maybe surprise phone calls, surprise endings to things, surprise visits by people. I mean, all kinds of, I can't even imagine all the different kinds of surprises, but they may lead you to that one key piece of information or that one key thing that you needed in order to move forward. So while this is really kind of a slower time in terms of getting things done, it is a time of maybe becoming very aware of something that maybe you've missed, of a hole in your plan, perhaps, something that needs to be worked with. So expect the unexpected. And there's also a freedom energy that comes with Aquarius, the capital F freedom, the middle way of the human design, right? The G or gene keys. Remember the gene key 55 in its highest expression is freedom, all caps. In its middle gift expression, it's freedom, capital F. Well, Aquarian energy here today, capital F freedom, right? How do we work that freedom? How does my freedom fit into the freedom of all? Big issue that we're bumping into here in this country in particular. I'm sure it's happening around the world, where people who seem to think it's okay to go around without a mask because it's their freedom, but the collective or the community requires masks at the moment, at least here in my state. I don't know if it's like that around the country. And how does that, how do we square our own personal freedom with what is the best for a community, right? When do I have to shift a little bit of my freedom to embrace that it's better for all, right? Where does the needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many? And when does the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one? We're grappling with it right now, right? Big picture, being objective, being able to see that wider picture, right? Stepping out of this freaking maverick energy that a lot of Americans have and seeing the bigger picture about how do your choices based on freedom affect the wider world, right? How does that happen? And is it wise then to insist that you have your own freedom to do what you want to do and to be the way you want to be, even in the face of how it affects everyone else, right? Grappling with these things right now, right? These are things in our faces, even as I speak here today. Guess what else is ruled by Aquarius? Divination tools, right? The I Ching, astrology, tarot, oracle cards, you name it, anything that we use as a divinatory tool is ruled by Uranus, which is also ruled by, or which is in Aquarius territory. So divination tools today, get your oracle cards out. Might all happen to be on the floor because they sit on top of my printer. And of course I had to get into my printer. So when we go to do a collective card or two today, I'll have to get onto the floor to do that. Humor, also a part of Aquarian energy. I love it. So maybe laughing at yourself today, laughing at all of the craziness that's happening. It is also a sign where we learn to manifest our dreams, right? In the astrology wheel, it is the ruler of the 11th house. And the 11th house is the house of our dreams, our vision, right? The bigger dreams. So right now we're also looking at what is it that we want to manifest? How do we want to show up in the world? Let's see, Aquarius also rules friendships, right? So our networking opportunities, the people that we are associated with, the groups that we choose to align ourselves with, and are they in our highest and best or interest, or are we maybe sticking with a group of people that bring our energy down? It might be time during this period of the full moon, or to at least consider today in the face of that full moon tomorrow, what would be a more creative way for you to entertain people or to be in your life with others? And of course, platonic love is also a part of Aquarian energy, which is why when we think of When we hear things about the Aquarian age, right, the humanity and brotherhood, love of brotherhood and sisterhood and all of that, it is that platonic love that we have, not the individual romantic love, but the bigger love that holds the world together and holds our relationships together. We have to watch out for a few things as we do in any moon, and that is being excessively detached from what is going on, holding inflexible opinions and dogmas, being afraid of getting involved in things. You know, there is in being detached and aloof, which are traits Aquarians have, there is a point at which the it's not my circus, not my monkeys goes too far, and you become excessively detached. So, or not wanting to get involved, you step way far back when what's really needed is you to step in and say something or do something. So we have to make that, we have to take that balance point. And on the other hand is the complete opposite, where you have erratic and shocking behavior. Either others act erratically or are shocking to you, or in some ways you shock people by things you might say or do. Not that that's a bad thing. Sometimes saying something completely out of the ordinary can wake people up and cause them to sit up and take notice and listen. But other times it can be something that is really shocking, and then you turn people off from listening to you. So balancing, right? Balancing. Question from Rueda: if the moon, sun, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter is in Aquarius in her natal chart, what will that mean in relationship to the transiting moon? Well, it means that the moon transiting through here is hitting every one of those planets and causing maybe some emotional ups and downs as it moves through them. The better way to look at that would be to see how all of those relationships of those planets. But you can imagine any time of the month that the moon is moving through Aquarius, or any planets moving through Aquarius, you're going to get bumped, right? You're going to have these things popping up in your field. You're going to be dealing with either the need to be humanitarian, or the need to be more detached, or the need to watch out for overly being detached. So technology being unconventional. And guess what? You have a heck of a year coming up, Rueda, then in 2021. And it may not be 2021, depending on the degree that the planets are in your chart, because Jupiter and Saturn will both be in Aquarius. And then in 2023 to 2024, Pluto moves into Aquarius. So you have quite the ride, I would say, for the next several years, as you are maybe jumping into the world in a fully humanitarian way. We'll have to see how that plays out. Did you say what house that was in her natal? Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what house that's in for you, but whatever house that's in, it's going to be hopping. It's going to be a hopping house. And let's see, how is everybody else doing it here? JLo says, I can say I read the sky way better than the cards. I think I pay attention to how much others read it before and what it means. Mm-hmm. Joshua says, my cards have been very detailed and specific the last couple of days. I'm excited to continue that energy, indeed. And Loving Light, hello, says Amy. Something great will come to your mind, open to new, and let go of what isn't given out of kindness. There must have been something going on with Amy. Amy, where are you? Ha, happened early already. Had a surprise ending of my income this morning. Thank you, government. Oh no. And unexpected is already out there, right? Ursula, Pisces moon tomorrow will guide your human design class in Academy. Yay, indeed. I'm already feeling it, Janet, not loving it so far. It's okay. We don't have to love what's happening. We don't have to love it, but we also don't have to react to it. That's kind of maybe the lesson here, is if we can stand back a bit from the fray. Now, there are a couple of other transits going on today that we'll want to talk about that may be playing into what you're feeling this morning. I don't know why I'm so thirsty this morning. Actually, I ate breakfast. That's probably why. This morning, or I should say later this afternoon, the sun is going to be coming into a quincunx, which is a 150-degree angle, also known as an inconjunct, to Chiron. And Chiron represents the wounded path, right? The wound to healing. So the path between wounding and healing. And it brings up, I think, all of our core issues, especially because of where it's located, right? The sun is in Virgo, and Aries is where Chiron is. And we've already had Mars and Eris and Black Moon Lilith in a conjunction stirring the pot. So what's coming up from the depths, what's coming up now, are all of our core wounds. It could be abandonment issues. It could be fear around scarcity or lack. It could be self-doubt. all of those kinds of core issues. There's guilt, there's shame, there's abandonment, there's what else? Oh my gosh, self-doubt. There's like seven core wounds, core human wounds. And all of them could be being triggered. Maybe one or two of them are being triggered, but they're all coming up at the moment as the, first of all, they're coming up because we're moving into that solar plexus, the mutation that's occurring in our solar plexus of our human design. So whatever is causing us emotional reactivity is coming up, so that we can learn to greet it with a neutral emotional energy. So there's that. Then we have these other things like sun in conjunct to Chiron. We also have Mercury in a trine to Pluto today. So we have several other things going on that are going to bring this stuff up, right? You can't plant seeds in your garden if you don't do the weeding first, right? So that's what the truth is here, is that there's a lot of things that we're getting ready to be able to entertain in our lives, but we can't do that while we still have weeds in the garden. So the weeds are there. And guess what? The weeds come back. Have you ever planted something and then, but first weeded the garden, right? You weed the whole thing, then you plant your flowers. And I can tell you a few weeks later, I go back out there and then there's weeds again. Right? It's a never-ending process of clearing out the weeds, right? Clearing up whatever's coming up out of your subconscious or your unconscious. So Amy, I feel for you with something like that, where your income is turned off and the fear that that can engender, right? The scarcity that might be, but you have to recognize that that's an old fear. That one of the things that we were learning about last week in human design is that our abundance comes from source, that it isn't something that we do. I hope you notice that the gate 55, which is about abundance, does not reside on the solar. I mean, it resides on the solar plexus, not on the sacral. So it's attached to how we feel, not what we do. So no matter how hard you work, no matter how many things you do, it is going to run counter to abundance if you're not feeling abundant, if you're not having faith in a benevolent universe, right? That you can have everything you need, that you are completely taken care of. And that's a longer life lesson. I know you're fairly young and it may take some time for you to gain that kind of awareness. Took me a long time to get there. But it doesn't have to take a long time. That's the cool thing about what's happening in our world now. This is a mutation that's gaining speed every day. Every day this is gaining more speed, and over the next 7 years, this will be completely in a change. So start working with it, right? Start just being grateful for everything you have in your life at this moment and working with that energy as much as you can. Mercury trine Pluto. Here is, surprisingly, Mercury trine Pluto is a very good transit. Sometimes I think, when Pluto's involved in any of my inner planets, but with Mercury, it gives us that ability to have a deep penetrating mind where we can go in and reach to the core of something, where we can research, we can investigate. This would be a great day to do some past life work, some maybe regression work, to go do some deep psychoanalysis, and you don't have to have a professional to do that with you. You can do that in a meditative state, just asking source to show you maybe what it is that you need to know about the biggest issue that you have going in your life at this moment, right? What is the, maybe you have this deep fear suddenly of not being able to support yourself, and asking the universe to help you move with that energy, to help you discover what's hidden there. Because this is also an opportunity for us to uncover hidden truths and secrets, and for us to be able to speak, write, or communicate from our depths, right? From the deeper part of ourselves. And when I say that, I mean, you know, the deep subconscious part of ourselves. So hopefully that helps. Trust your feelings. That's what Josh says. Pauline, good morning. Got to use solar plexus stones to heal. Ay, ay, ay. That's awesome. Rueda was just reminded, I had a dream of a litter of Dalmatians. Wonder what the Dalmatian energy is.
Well, let's just take a peek. Where did my dog pack go?
And or Leslie, if you're still out there and you know right off the top of your head, let's see if Dalmatian is listed here. Dalmatian is... Page 17. Forgiveness. Dalmatian is forgiveness. Dalmatian's advice is, it is now time to choose love over fear. Shall I read the whole thing? I think I will. Oh, well, I don't have the card. Let me find Dalmatian card here so we can see that lovely dog. I used to have a Dalmatian. Her name was Annie. She was absolutely gorgeous. And she was given to me by a college friend. And they couldn't keep her because she was pretty wild. And Dalmatians are a bit hyper at times. And so I took her because I had another dog and they loved to play. And they played and they played. But somehow Annie used to always get out of my yard. And I became known as the woman, the crazy woman chasing the Dalmatian in the neighborhood. Because I would chase that dog. She would let me get from here to arm's length and she would bolt and run. She drove me crazy, but she was such a love. We ended up giving her to a firefighter friend and she became a firehouse dog. Dalmatian, right? Forgiveness. There's the card, right? So let me read the rest of that for you. This is a time of mental stimulation. Being physically active will help you to relieve stress and move forward. Because you are so intelligent and have such a good memory, you remember everything, especially times when you were wronged. Being very sensitive, you have a tendency to take things personally. This may bring up abandonment issues and you have not yet chosen to deal with. You may even feel abandoned by God. Forgiving the person or the act doesn't mean you condone it or even need to have a relationship with them. You have an opportunity to forgive and be free. Forgiveness is always for you. And then the advice, it is now time to choose love over fear. Perfect. Wow, Rueda, that was a powerful dream, a litter of forgiveness. A litter of forgiveness, right? And dealing with whatever it is that the universe is bringing to you. And maybe it is triggered by that fear of all those planets sitting there that you have in Aquarius and these, the moon passing over them. And of course, the next year or two of planets passing through that part of your chart. All right. And that was perfect timing to bring that up, wasn't it? I just love how the universe works like that. A great jogging dog. They are a great jogging dog. Yes, yes, yes. And oh, sweetie, you're in tears because you're releasing, right? That's a releasing thing. Releasing all of that and forgiving yourself, forgiving others, and just suspending the judgment of you or anyone else involved in whatever has been happening. And Pauline says, wonder if your dog is symbolic of what is in the cards of time together, like to choose the first dog with those cards. I'm not sure what that means, Pauline. Sorry. Leslie, where can we purchase your deck? I actually did put that out there under the Instagram YouTube video the other day. Contact Leslie on the Dog Pack Facebook page. There's a messenger button there. Message her and tell her you would like that and she will connect with you on how to get that deck. I think it's a great one to have, especially for dog lovers. Even if you're not a dog lover, who doesn't like dog cards, right? Oracle cards. Joyanne says, Rueda, a puppy for every planet. Ooh, yes, maybe so. Right? And puppy energy, think about that. It's youthful, it's loving, it's universally loving, right? There's no filter there of love. And Asa is telling me, Rueda, that those planets are in your first house. So it's a new you, cleared, clean, purified of all of the grievances, the grudges, the emotional residue of the years, and coming out clean on that other side. Your clients will love it. Yeah. Do you keep cards in your studios or in your salons? I think that would be fun. I think that would be a lot of fun, actually. Okay. So let's take a look at our Pleiadian Earth energy today. And just a quick reminder that in September, which begins tomorrow, the 17th, I will host Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith, the people who partnered with the Pleiadians. It's always funny to say that, to create the Pleiadian Earth calendar. And of course, the book. And here we go. We have this is the 2021. I hear that my 2021 is on the way. And there's a new format in the 2021. So I'm excited to take a look at that. And we'll be talking with them. So it'll be a good morning. If you have questions, start thinking now about the questions you might like to ask about the calendar, about the astrology, how it works, because they love to answer questions, right? And they're delightful people. So that'll be on the 17th, which is Thursday. So instead of doing card readings that day, we'll probably have to do those on Friday, because I want them to have full attention of your full attention, their full attention for you to ask your questions on everything that you always wanted to know about the Pleiadian Earth energy and the calendar. Okay, so Asa says, well, now I'm crying too. Oh, Angela K, hello, popping on for a moment. Angela Mather Keel, I'm guessing. And I was very surprised the other day because I guess I just hadn't really known what you do, Angela. And she has these wonderful products. And I'm going to ask her to share that information with all of you, or share it with me, where people can go to your site, Angela, to see the products. And they look like they're great products to use with the moons and with different astrological configurations. They're based in astrology, so I love that. Leslie says she'll get a deck out to you, Josh. I love it. And so Joshua says, I do readings as an offering as well as hair. I love it. What fun is that? And J-Lo, OMG, office, I will get an important call now. I bet you will. Have to rewatch the other part. Oh, I see what she's saying. She's getting a call now. So anyway, so the 17th, we will be entertained by Pia and Cullen. And I really, we have talked to them before. In fact, I may go back and post some of those other conversations that we've had. Cornelia and I interviewed them from Ascension and Astrology when she and I were working on that project. And so I'll go see if I can't find those and share those with everybody. So today is six devoting. Of course, it is devoting energy because in the Mayan calendar, that was Ok, and Ok was the representation of the dog. How funny that we're sitting here talking about dog. I swear there are the universe just knows what it is we're doing, or they're guiding us, I swear, because it's guiding us. God's guiding us in that. Why would we have been talking about the dog pack, dog cards, Dalmatians, and here we are on a day of the dog, literally, from the point of view of the Mayan calendar. The energy itself from the Pleiadian calendar is devoting, and it's paired with the universal number 6. So the universal number 6 is about flowing. And flowing is about the fact that you can't stop resistance. You can't stop blocks from showing up or fear from showing up for other people to get in your way of your ideas, or you're working on something only to find out suddenly you forgot a step and you got to go back. Those kinds of things happen in the world, right? It's just a part of being in the physical dynamic universe. But what we can learn with the 6 is that no matter what's put in front of you, you can, like water, flow around, flow under, flow over, stop for a moment, take a breath, move into a new direction. So the universal number 6, or the universal day, which is 6, tells us about flowing around or going with the flow. We had that message also earlier with Mars sextile the moon, or the moon sextile Mars today. It's also our Instagram post for today, which, by the way, Asa, that was such a smashingly lovely graphic. I loved it. Thank you so much. And that is the energy that we're dealing with today from two different quarters now, right? Going with the flow. If things seem to stop up, then you stop and you wait. Wait for the next omen or the next sign to tell you go that way, or just stop for now, because the universe is a benevolent place and it will lead us to be in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunities, if only we are open, listening. Now, devoting energy is kind of interesting because it speaks to love. It's the love of, it's really unconditional love, we'll call it. So unconditional love. But it also speaks to loyalty and whether we are loyal to the right things. And what is loyalty after all? When someone is telling you to be loyal to them, That is not true loyalty. That is a power control measure, right? They're trying to control you. That true loyalty is given from the heart. True loyalty is earned by the person who receives loyalty, because they are in, they're doing something that deserves that kind of loyalty, not because they are strong arming you into it, right? That's kind of happened in our government here in the US over the last several months, as we've seen ever since Trump was elected, actually, we've seen this idea of loyalty. And if you're not loyal to the party, then you get chastised, or you get somehow, you know, stabbed in the back behind the scenes, right? Or somehow you get removed from office. And it continues to happen, right? Anybody who questions its authority, anybody who doesn't like his politics, or anybody who doesn't like the way things are going, if they say anything about it, their loyalty is called into question and they get yanked somehow. Well, that's not true loyalty, right? True loyalty is given freely from the heart when it's deserving. And then it begs the question, what are you being loyal to? Because I think we're all loyal to certain things in our lives. Like I was shocked the other day because I saw this list of products that I use that are organic, natural products that have been sold to companies like Johnson & Johnson, or big companies that we know of who have other products that are just nasty for your body. And they've bought into these organic products that like Burt's Bees, the natural like lip glosses and lotions and things like that. And Whole Foods owned by Amazon and all these different things. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So I have to question now my own loyalty to those products. Is it the product? And this is minor in the big thing, because there's also loyalty to a belief system. There's loyalty to a group. There's loyalty to yourself, to your spouse, to your family, and all of these things, right? What are you devoted to? What are you loyal to? And is it upholding your values? Is it aligned with your values, or isn't it? Because that's the question, right? The simple question there. All right. So that's it for me today. I don't have anything else new to share. So I'm going to head over here and see how people are doing. Do you guys have questions? Good morning, Tom. What are you doing up so early? It's great to see you though. Hidden in other party, thought we were not going to get political. That isn't a political thing. It is me clearly showing you how questioning loyalty is a big part of our learning at the moment, right? Learning at the moment. So question your loyalty for the other party as well. I don't mean to make it sound like it's only there, but that's the biggest obvious smack in your face energy that we can see, right? So it's great to use it as a model. And as I always say, Pauline, everybody out there is doing exactly what they came here to do, whether we like it or not, right? But it's there for me to be able to use as a model for what we're experiencing here on the planet. So I am going to grab a couple of cards. We've already seen Dalmatian. So I'm going to do I'm going to give us a dragon. I feel like I need a dragon this week. I feel like the collective needs a dragon this week. And so if you've not seen the dragon cards, it's a deck by Dragon Oracle. It is a deck by Diana Cooper, I believe it is. Yep, Diana Cooper. Maybe I'll have to see if I can get her on the show one morning. Diana Cooper wrote the book, the little guidebook, and the Dragon Oracle cards. And let's see what our dragon is for the week. Got to slay some dragons, or have some dragons slay some energies for us. Ah, Thor's red, black, and gold dragon. Wow, I don't think we've had this one, you guys. Look at this. That is, where's the head of that dragon? Oh, he's right here. There he is. He's blowing the fire. So Thor's red, black, and gold dragon protects you in times of change. A time of rapid transition and transformation. Relax, you are safe. That might be good for Amy. That might be good for Rueda. All of us, actually, we're all facing this time of change. Let's see what that means for us. And I like these because they talk about the different dimensions that the card, that the dragons are from. And since we are moving through. That is a fifth dimensional dragon, 76. Okay, let's see what he has to say. All righty. During this incredible period of transition, everything on our planet is changing rapidly. Thor's mighty red, black, and gold dragons work directly for Archangel Gabriel, the mighty archangel in overall command of fire, who sends them to any area or situation that needs immediate clearance. Thor is the god of thunder, the elemental master of fire, and his red, black, and gold dragons carry powerful fire energy. For the optimum use of this blazing power, they connect with Mars and its ascended aspect, Nigella, so that they can act as peaceful spiritual warriors throughout the universe. Here's our guidance. Drawing this card indicates that you are ready to change a situation, circumstance, or relationship, or are already doing so. This is challenging for you, and the universe is reminding you that you have earned the right to receive support and assistance. Your guidance is to ask an army of Thor's dragons to clear the energies around you and protect you as you make this transformation. Then relax, knowing you are safe, guided, and supported. Thor's red, black, and gold dragons will ensure you make the changes in a way that is for the highest good of all concerned. These very hard-working warrior dragons consume dense energies very rapidly and thoroughly, and they come to you with dedication, love, and wisdom. So accept graciously what they have to offer you. This card is also a call to service. You are asked to send Thor's dragons to places and situations that need their protection at this time. Wow. That's a great one for the week. And then I thought one last card I would pull is the Oracle of the Seven Energies, the newest deck by Colette Baron-Reed. Love her too. And let's take a look at what this one, what level energy we are looking at for today, for this week. Bearing Fruit, card number 12, which is a 3. That's a beautiful card as well. Can't see. There we go. Oh, where's the best light for that? It's dark in my room this morning. It's really cloudy, so I apologize. But Bearing Fruit, it's a beautiful tree. Let's see what that has to say. And Bearing Fruit, let me see if I can tell you, card number 12, what energy that's in. Card number 12 is in water energy. So we have water energy. And it says, the key concepts are birthing, the results of hard work, an idea or consistent thought manifesting into form, the relationship between the external world and the internal world of feelings and beliefs. If your life were a tree, what fruit would it bear? Envision the results of the efforts you put into achieving your dreams and desires in partnership with the divine. Can you see the way you think, feel, and believe reflected in the material world? There is always a correlation between what you see, what you expect to see, what you intend consciously, and what you project unconsciously. Everything is intrinsically connected. Magic flows through you from the unseen world into the world you perceive. Moving from the realm of non-ordinary reality to ordinary reality, you birth ideas and thoughts into form and bring your most cherished desires to fruition. Not all ideas will bear sweet fruit. Sometimes you will reap a sour and bitter harvest based on your sense of your personal narrative and your assumption about others. You are in a powerful and fertile season of your life when you're particularly good at making things happen with very little effort. Pay close attention to what you're manifesting now. From your career to your personal relationships, your influence is strong at this time. If you don't like what your life is yielding, prune the proverbial tree and get into alignment with what genuinely lights you up. Remember, you birthed into the world that which you pay most attention to and consistently hold within as your truth. Be clear about what you intend. Can you make this commitment? There we go. Bearing Fruit. Card number 12 in the water energy. So it speaks to our emotions and how we feel, right? It's how we feel that really drives what we manifest and whether we manifest something that we desire or not. All right, guys, That is it for me. I'm going to take one last look here and see if there are any questions. Joy Ann says, too funny. I saw a camper last week with a logo, Thor's Jazz, and a big horn judgment card. Ooh, interesting. Interesting. So Leslie says, love those. I'm getting a deck of those. Are you? I guess you're talking about the dragon cards. The dragons. I love the dragons too. I like all cards, but some just seem to work. The dogs so far, Leslie, you've done such a great job on, because they are showing up in a very big way for us, even in people's dreams. All right. So that is it for me today, guys. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow morning, where we'll address the full moon and take it apart, put it back together again, see what it holds for all of us. All right. Bye for now.